Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Now, our guest today is Jason McKenzie. And Jason McKenzie is the author of Man Down, A Survival Guide for Men. I'll get him to tell you about his wonderful book. And he's the chief coaching officer at the Ames Institute. You can find out more about Jason McKenzie and his wonderful work at his website, grief.tools. Welcome, Jason McKenzie.
Thank you, Catherine. I'm happy to be here, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
So we're going to be talking today here about male grief. So my first question for you is what is grief, and how does grief differ from depression?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think grief, it's interesting because if you look for a definition, there's many, many different definitions of grief. I mean, I like to think of it as the process of coming to terms with the loss of someone or something important to you. So that can be a person, you know, it can be the loss of a future that you thought you would have. It could be a job loss, a pet, you know, but really most change involves loss, and grief is the process of coming to terms with that loss. And obviously there's a huge variation of the importance or the impact of the losses we suffer. But fundamentally, I think that's what it's about. And when I think of depression, I think of depression, again, not being a psychologist or anything, but I mean, having lived with for a long time with someone who dealt with really devastating depression, I mean, it is sometimes, I've heard it described as inconsolable mental anguish. So it's a mental health issue, that might require intervention to alleviate. But grief is something different. You know, it's a natural process of coming to terms after a loss, but it can feel like depression. You know, trust me, I mean, when you are overwhelmed with sadness and are unable to, sometimes feel unable to function, and you're obsessing about, the loss that you've experienced. I mean, some of the symptoms can definitely mirror depression. So there's some similarities and there's some fundamental differences, I'd say.
I love that you described depression, inconsolable mental anguish. Great. That's a great definition. Thank you. Now, you are the author. Will you share for our audience about your book? What is the full title of your book, and what is your book about?
Yeah, so it's about, the book's called Man Down, A Survival Guide for Men for the Days, Weeks, and Months Following a Devastating Loss. And the reason I wanted to write the book is because I wanted to write something that was, let me back up and just say, I want to write something for men. And my avatar that I was imagined was I wanted to write it for, say, a truck driver who has never even thought about these concepts, somebody like that who could pick it up and get something out of it. So I tried to make the language really simple and approachable, and something that would resonate with men. But I mean, fundamentally, it's about what to expect after a devastating loss. And it's really about what happens to your body, the unbelievably powerful urge to escape and to distract yourself, the ways that it can cause you to act out, all of those types of things, the instances of being triggered, for example, when, a memory comes up, and what are some things to think of, and like some ways to think about it and things to do. I think fundamentally it's trying to get men and the people who love them to understand what they are going through, what they are experiencing, and what to expect. So they are not as blindsided as probably I was the first time I suffered a devastating loss, because I didn't know a thing about grief.
Okay, fantastic. Now, I love that you mentioned that your book, Man Down, talks about how grief affects our physical body. Now, here we are at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. So we look at a person as a whole, mind, body, and spirit. And my understanding, every emotion affects particular organs in your body and particular acupuncture meridians. And my understanding from 32 years as an experience in natural healing is that grief really affects our lungs. You are a grief expert and chief coaching officer at the Ames Institute. How do you think that a grief affects our physical body? Like, what can we expect?
Great question, Catherine. And I think I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think that if you're anything like me, and I think this is because in Western society, we have such a lack of understanding about grief. We don't talk about it. We don't, we try to avoid it, et cetera. We don't understand it. And I think what people need to understand is that it is a complete whole body experience, and it will cause you to feel exhausted. It will cause you to feel so overwhelmed that you feel like your system is shutting down. It causes physical discomfort, pain in your body. And I think what we often try to do is we often try to intellectualize ourselves through grief. And I think that learning to honor what is happening in our bodies is a hugely critical step for not only being able to heal and not only being able to sit with, some of the extreme discomfort that grief can contribute to, let's say. But I also think that it's crucial for allowing ourselves to learn how to let the emotions we are experiencing move through our body rather than being trapped in this cycle of like constant, trigger, like discomfort, managing the discomfort till we can't take it anymore. And then just the cycle repeating over and over. So it is 100% a full body experience. And I think that's what people, especially after some time passes from the loss. So at the beginning, in the immediate aftermath, say of a really devastating loss, it's obvious that what you're experiencing is related to the, to the loss. It's obvious that the pain is related to the loss. As more time passes, though, it becomes less obvious that there's a, so like my daughter passed away just over 2.5 years ago. And so it can be not as obvious if when I start feeling like some really intense sensations in my body that it's necessarily related to her loss. It takes some being present with it to realize, no, this is grief. This is what's showing up here. So yeah, I mean, that was a long answer to it, but to say is that it is a full body experience, and we ignore what's happening with our bodies at our peril.
Great answer. Now, you specialize in grief for men. What's one hard truth about male grief that most people aren't ready to hear but need to understand?
I think that it is that we lock our emotions down because it's the only way that we know how to deal with them, and it is destructive beyond belief. So, if I look at myself, and I lost my first wife to suicide. And, I, at that time, I didn't know what grief was. I actually thought grief was something that weak people did while strong people took care of the things that needed to be taken care of. Because, I mean, the reality is when you lose someone you love, the world keeps turning and there's things that still have to get done. And so my belief system, I don't even know where, honestly, I don't even know where I got this idea, but it was, well, I'm going to close that chapter of my life and I'm going to move on. And I'm going to take care of business and I'm going to build a great new life. And I mean, and I was destroying myself with alcohol the whole time. And so I think, and without ever making the connection that my, drinking problem and the pain of my wife's suicide, it never occurred to me that those things were related. So I think what people don't understand is that like men do grieve differently. We tend to grieve in terms of taking action on things, rather than sitting around talking about it. But we are experiencing the same emotions that anybody else would feel, woman, whatever, anybody else would feel. We're just less, generally less equipped to understand them, be able to sit with them and process them. So what we do is we try to avoid them. And all the ways we try to avoid them are destructive. They just make a bad situation or a hard situation even worse than it already is.
Great information. Now, as a medical intuitive healer with 30 years of experience in natural healing, I have both male and female clients. So I work with men from all over the world. And my understanding is that men will only reveal themselves under two conditions. Number one, with people who cannot hurt them. So this is why you can see big, strong guys, and they're so tender and emotional with little animals and children. And number two, to people who will not hurt them. And so men and women, but especially men, need to feel very safe in order to reveal themselves and reveal the full depth of their emotions. How can men feel safe to reveal their grief?
I think that's a great question. And I mean, I think it fundamentally comes down to, learning how to, I'm going to back up actually. I'm going to start this again because that's a really good question. And I think that how men, I think the very first thing that men have to get past is the idea that grief is related to weakness. Because if you think it's related, if you think grieving is being weak, you're never going to feel safe enough to reveal it because people hate feeling weak. And so even for myself, even after all this time, these two devastating losses, there are still times where I'm clutching my daughter's urn to my chest and I'm bawling my head off. There are still thoughts that go through my mind that are, you're pathetic. You cannot, you could not protect your family in this diminished state you're in. Like, get it together. Now, I don't listen to those voices anymore, so I think, but they're there. They are still there, whether they're biological or societal or some combination of all those things. So I would say that, the very first thing is to realize that grief is a human experience, regardless of your gender. Regardless of however you were born, it's a universal human experience. And expressing it does not make you weak. It actually creates the opportunity for you to heal and for other people to support you and to be stronger together. So, I mean, I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing is that, there are people that are in very different stages of their relationship when they suffer a loss. So, guidance is always to, even before you lose someone, is to find a band of brothers that you can lean on. I did not have that after my first wife died, and I suffered for it. My daughter died. I mean, one of the businesses we do is we run a coaching program for dads who own businesses. And so part of that, my business partners there, they are all smart, emotionally intelligent, caring, curious, empathetic men. And so having those people in my life has been a game changer for me to be able to lean into. So, my encouragement is to, if you have a group of guys that have been your friends, and basically what you do is you talk about sports, make fun of each other, and drink beer together, that's great. That's fine. Everybody loves doing that. But if you don't have anybody that you can talk deeply about each other's human experience, you're going to find that if you do suffer, a huge loss, they're not going to be able to talk to you about it. So it's really, I think, leaning into and actively seeking out, whether it's at a church or a community group or online, a group of men, there's groups online called like Grieving Fathers, and there's all kinds of good stuff, but finding a band of brothers that you can open up and be safe with, I think is huge too. And that takes some initiative and being proactive. But if you don't have that, you're going to just keep it inside and you're going to suffer immensely because of it.
So follow-up question, how can men feel strong enough to process their emotions?
I don't think it is. So I think first of all, not looking at it in terms of strength is probably the first step, because I don't look at it like that, because there's lots of times I don't feel strong at all. But I think that, so the way I think about this is, and actually I'll tell you a quick story because this was hugely impactful for me. So I was in the jungles of, after a few months after my daughter died, I was in the jungles of Costa Rica at a healing retreat. You know, it was partially guided psychedelic experiences. We did like sweat lodges, like it was the whole thing. And it was really impactful for me. But one of the most impactful moments was going into a sweat lodge with, by the way, I don't know if you've ever done one, but they are wild. And because I go to the sauna every morning, a sweat lodge is like a nuclear sauna almost. But the shaman said something that I think was really impactful. And he said, the purpose, you know, he's explaining the purpose of the ceremony. And he said, in this part of the world, the jaguar is the apex predator. So when the jaguar is walking through the jungle and it sees something, you know, threatening or unknown or uncertain, it doesn't run. It turns and faces it. And he said, so when you go into this ceremony, the sweat lodge ceremony, you are going to be like the ceremony will show you what you need to see. And you'll have a choice. For many of you, it's going to be extremely uncomfortable, like whatever trauma or whatever comes up for you. You have two choices. You are free to leave at any time you want, and no one's going to judge you for it. However, my encouragement would be, when that happens to you, is to be the jaguar and face it. And I'm telling that story because that gave me so much, it stiffened my spine in a way where I tell myself now, you know, when these emotions come up, that they can be so uncomfortable. And, you know, and I tell myself to be the jaguar and face it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because what I used to tell myself is, Jason, you got to let yourself experience it. And it felt so passive to me. I didn't, just as a me personally, and I didn't like it. But the idea of facing it, even though I'm literally not doing anything else different, it feels more empowering to me. And so I think that, you know, I guess the message for men out there and for the people that love them is the only way to process the incredibly difficult thoughts and emotions related to losing someone important to you is to face them. You cannot avoid your way to a better life. You have to face them. And that means sitting with them. It means learning how to talk about them. It means questioning, you know, the beliefs that come up. It means being intentional about the words you're using. There's a lot of things, but ultimately it boils down to face it.
Great wisdom. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer. We're listening to Jason McKenzie talk about how men can process grief. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
the station that makes you feel good.
Jason McKenzie, author of Man Down, A Survival Guide for Men. So what are the things we know as humans? So if I get a cold, I know it's going to take 7 days or a week, whichever comes faster, right? But I'm sure one question that you must get as a grief counselor is, how long does it actually take to get over grief? What is your experience and what does the statistics show?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, first of all, you don't get over grief, right? It's something you carry with you. And I think that's one of the hardest things for people to understand, especially for men who are oriented towards action and fixing things, you know, because grief is not fixable. You can do lots of things to make it worse, but you can't, it's not really something that's fixable. It's really a process of navigating the journey. And there is no end point. Like, I will be grieving my daughter for the rest of my life. Now, it will change over time, and it already has changed over time. But I think one of the things that's incredibly difficult and sometimes frustrating about grief is that, number one, it goes on forever. And number two, it's completely unpredictable. So there are times when you might be having like a period of time where, you know, things feel relatively easy and or, you know, almost like, quote, normal in some way. And then out of the blue, be crushed by a wave of grief that you didn't see coming, you know, and or, you know, part of the part of the grieving process is also coming to terms with a lot of things that you may have said or done in the past. So, for example, you know, my daughter was 19 when she died, and I really felt like I, you know, being a great dad was important to me, and I did my very best as a father. So I told myself that I don't feel guilty about, like, you know, because obviously we can look back and think, knowing the things we learn afterwards, you know, we look back and think, oh man, there's, you know, I could have done that differently or this differently. So I told myself I didn't feel guilty. Then I found out through going to a somatic experiencing therapist, which ties in nicely back to the idea that a lot of this, you know, surfaces in the body. But I realized just earlier this year that I still feel guilty. And I still felt guilty at that time. And just the realization of that over 2 years in was so, such a downer, you know, because I was like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm sick of it. Like, I don't want there to have to be another layer of the onion I have to peel back right now. It's like you climb a mountain, you know, and as soon as you get to the top of the mountain, you're exhausted. And then there's another one. And then there's another one. And so I guess the message really is that it does not end, you know, but as you move through grief and you heal and you do the work and you talk about it and maybe get help and all those things, you strengthen your capacity to deal with it when it comes. So you don't immediately, maybe it still hurts really badly, but you don't have the, you know, immediate urge to pick up a bottle and try to drink it away. Or maybe it happens and you have a moment where, I'll tell one more story if you don't mind. So for me, one of the most painful memories of obviously like losing my daughter was going to the funeral home and seeing her body on the table. And it's something that has, in the 2.5 years since she died, it's just come up many times. And it's always very painful. And sometimes it's in dreams. Sometimes it's just out of nowhere. Maybe a couple of months ago, I was actually at a yoga class, and this image came up in my mind. And basically what I did was I just sat with the experiences that was happening in my body. But after I did that, this incredibly clear thought came in my mind, which is, this memory will always be a part of me, but it no longer scares me. And so I'm sharing that example because that's, for as long as I live, I will have the memory of seeing my daughter dead at the funeral. But my capacity to deal with the memories is growing and changing. And so, you know, it'll still come up, but it won't, you know, have me on my hands and knees like it did at the beginning, for example. And so, you know, there's a long-winded way again of saying, like, grief does not end, but your ability to process it and navigate it and deal with it and move forward with it, if you do the work, it will evolve and it becomes more manageable.
I really appreciate the honesty of your answer. And as a medical intuitive healer with 32 years experience, I completely affirm what you're saying. Because so many people think healing, whether it's physical healing or mental, emotional healing, is like a linear process. Mm-hmm. My experience is actually, it's more like a spiral. And I'll share a story. I'm the author of 10 books. And when I wrote my book, Unlimited Energy Now, I went into meditation. I was like, okay, how do you illustrate unlimited energy now? And I got that it's a spiral. And everything that's alive moves in a spiral. The cell, the galaxies, a sunflower, and everything alive moves in a clockwise fashion in a spiral. So sometimes when we are in a healing process, whether we're overcoming grief or any other deep emotional challenge, you think, oh gosh, you know, here I am again. I'll never get over it. But you're never at the exact same space.
I totally agree.
You're on a different, you know, place on the spiral, right? And so having that compassion for yourself, I think is really important, is to understand that it's not linear. It's not a one and done, right? Now,
yeah, I totally agree. Can I just say, something I want to add there too, is I think that the way that we talk about that, I think, is crucial as it relates to healing. Because what people will do, I've heard this many, many times, is because people, they think of it that it's supposed to be a linear process, what they'll say is, oh, I feel like I took, you know, two steps forward, then I took a step back because I had a difficult day. And that's not the way to think about it, because it, to your point, it's a spiral. There is no, a difficult day is not a step back. It's part of the process. Just like a difficult day is not a bad day. Because if you start describing them as bad, good and bad days, what happens is you're going to be more tempted to want to avoid the bad days. Some days are easier, some days are more difficult. And every one of them is part of the process to rebuilding, a new version of your life.
Yes. And I have another question, and this is about the differences between men and women. Mm-hmm. So again, from my 32 years of experience in natural healing, one of the things that I have learned is that as human beings, we all have fundamental needs. And the definition of a need is that if you don't get a need met, you're off balance and not okay. We all have wants, soul fulfilling, like I want to go to Paris, but I could be okay if I don't go to Paris. But if I don't get my needs met, I'm not okay. And my understanding is that men need their thoughts to be respected and women need their feelings to be cared about, okay? Mm. So we're talking about the process of healing from grief. How can men respect their process of healing from grief? How can they enhance and empower their self-respect around having the strength to deal with grief?
That's a great question. And, you know, it's so interesting that you say that about the difference between men and women, because in our men's groups, one of the very first things we teach people is the skill of emotional validation, right? Which is how to actually acknowledge, understand and accept another person's emotional experience without trying to fix it. And so men tend to be fixers, right? So we tend to invalidate the people we love all the time. So as far as for men to respect the process of grief, yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think what is required is to break down, and this is very, very hard, especially for most guys, is to break down the stereotype of what a strong man looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was, you know, one of the examples I use is I'll say, you know, if you're grieving, go allow yourself to cry and then go lift a set of heavy weights. You'll see that you don't actually get physically weaker when you do that. You can still lift the same amount. So, but, you know, I think part of it is really, and you know, I wrote a book a number of years ago about vulnerability for men and how it makes you a stronger, wiser, and more courageous father. But I think that is that we need to realize that the persona or like the archetype of like the strong male, it's a straitjacket, you know, and it may have served a purpose at some point. But I think that recognizing that the strongest among us are those who are understand, accept, and can communicate our emotional experience with other people. It's not to pretend we don't have it. You know, in emotions, there are no right or wrong emotions. They just are. Everything else is a story we make up about them. So I think that, you know, it's fundamentally about redefining strength. So the way I think about it is one of the ways that I can respect myself through grieving is, number one, that I stay in alignment as much as possible with the values that I hold dear, right? So, you know, and for me, that is human connection. That is, you know, direct giving to people. It's, you know, continual growth. I mean, I have some core values that are important to me, but the point is that I try to do my very best to make sure that the decisions I am making, even when I'm in the most pain, are in alignment with my values, because it is very, very easy to have grief or some other type of overwhelming pain to have the way that you deal with that chip away at your moral foundation, let's say, you know, whether it's through, you know, drinking, drugging, porn, whatever it is, and then lying about it because you're ashamed of it. And then all of a sudden you're questioning who you are. You know, I've done all of these things, like, to try. I'm not speaking from, you know, I'm speaking from deep personal experience here. So I think living in alignment with our values is, knowing what they are and living in alignment with them to the best of our ability is important. It's also recognizing that there's no such thing as perfection here. Everybody has limits to the amount of pain they can tolerate. So for example, for myself, you know, I after my daughter died, I haven't drank for like 11 years, but after my daughter died, and I also hadn't, you know, smoked any pot or marijuana or whatever. But when my daughter died, I made it about 5 or 6 months. I had a panic attack and I couldn't take it. I was just completely done. I went to the weed shop, bought a few joints and got stoned. And I proceeded to get stoned quite a lot for a number of months after that. But then I stopped because I thought, I can't, this is not serving me. I know this is not helping me heal. So where with drinking, after my wife died, it took me 5 years to see the light. This time it took me a couple of months. And so I don't look at that as a failure. I look at that as me being human and me actually course correcting a lot more quickly than I did the first time. So my point is that it's, you know, there's no such thing as perfection. When you go off the rails or make a poor choice, own it and get back on the, you know, get back moving in the direction you want. That's how you maintain respect, because there are a million ways to cope that will just destroy your self-respect.
I really appreciate that you brought up addictions, because I think so many of us, when we feel uncomfortable emotions, we turn to drugs, legal and illegal, right? And notice how I said legal and illegal, right? Mm-hmm. So how do addictions make grief work and worse? So we're talking the alcohol, the drugs, legal and illegal. How do all these addictions make grief worse?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So this, I could talk endlessly about this. I'll try not to, but I'm speaking from personal experience here. So Gabor Maté, which you may have heard of him. I mean, Canadian doctor I respect a great deal. He works with people dealing with addiction, talks about it a lot. And he always says, you know, when you look at addiction, to heal addiction, you need to look at the pain underneath the addiction. And so when you lose someone or something you love or cherish dearly, it causes incredible pain. And so addiction is a, you know, or say drugs, alcohol, whatever, that can easily become addiction, is a way of temporarily changing your state. You know, you're so uncomfortable with the place that you're in. It's physically uncomfortable. You want to tear your skin off sometimes, and you'll do anything just to, for a moment of reprieve. And what happens is that it works, you know, for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then, but the pain is always there waiting when the distraction wears off. And again, and then sometimes what you do is you do things that you regret. You know, like you might, again, you know, get drunk and say something horrible or make a fool out of yourself or whatever. Or, you know, you might, you know, do drugs and lie to your spouse about it or whatever. Like, and so now you're not only dealing with the pain, you're dealing with the shame that comes with knowing, like in your heart, knowing what you're doing is hurting yourself and the people that you love the most. Sometimes it can be really hard to see that because the human mind's capacity to rationalize our behavior is almost limitless. So, you know, after my wife died and I drank for 5 years, I could not admit that it was a problem, even though in my heart I knew it was a problem. I could not say it out loud. And so what ended up happening was when I finally stopped drinking, almost five years after my wife died, I started grieving her death because I never allowed myself to do it. So what I did was I prolonged my healing for so, like, I or not prolonged really, but yeah, I guess prolonged. I mean, I, or, you know, pushed it back, let's say for years without realizing it, and robbed myself of the chance to heal and start to live, you know, what feel like a meaningful life is earlier. So it prevents you from doing like the feeling what you need to feel and doing the work to heal, but it also damages the relationships that you need the most when you need them the most. So if you're drinking and acting like a jerk or not being present, maybe your spouse, who you really could lean on, is not going to be there in the same way that he or she might have if you had been open and honest. So it damages relationships, it prolongs suffering, and it causes just all the other bad consequences that addiction causes, you know, destruction in your life, work, professionally, friendships. But fundamentally, it just stops you from being able to create the space you need to face it.
Great information. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer. We're listening to Jason McKenzie, author of Man Down, A Survival Guide for Men. And we're talking about how men can heal from grief. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So, Jason McKenzie, you are a grief expert. As you know, many of us, we have friends and loved ones who go through a grieving process. And we, on the outside, who are connected to our loved ones, want to be helpful. What well-meaning actions actually make grief worse, and why do people keep doing them?
Oh my goodness. Yes, there's so many things that we can do. I mean, I think one of the things we can do is we tell people that they should get over it, you know, that they should move on, that they're holding on too tight, for example. And you know, our goal is to, I've had people say this to me that I love deeply, like, I feel like you're stuck in grief. You know, and so I think that their intention is good. And I always try to assume positive intent, you know, like, so, but yeah, I mean, so that's basically the message, though, is you're not grieving properly, Jason, or, you know, you need to do this faster. you know, I think we do things where when people are feeling intense emotions and maybe want to talk about it, we try to fix their, just like I was saying earlier, we invalidate them by trying to fix it. We give them unwanted advice. For example, you know, we tell them to, you know, maybe it's not that bad, or, you know, they need to calm down if they're really upset. Like, we do a lot of invalidating things. But I think the most important thing that we do is that increases the pain is nothing. Because one of the things that you will hear over and over again, this has been my experience too, is that you lose someone or something really important to you, and people will ask about it for a very brief period of time, and then all of a sudden it never comes up again. You know, and you're sitting here. I had this experience last weekend with some family that was here. And I just find it fascinating that people don't ask anything about the loss of my child. You know, I've had family members that or people really close to me that haven't, other than maybe after like the first week, have not said a word to me about it. You know, and there's lots of reasons for that. They don't know what to say. They're respecting privacy. They're afraid of making it worse. Maybe they just don't want to know. There's all kinds of different reasons. But, you know, to feel like the only way that your, say, in my case, my child's name will ever be mentioned again is if I bring it up, you know, is a burden. It feels like a burden. And so I think that, you know, the advice I try to give people is, if you're not sure whether you should ask how someone is doing or not, err on the side of asking. Just ask. Because if I don't feel like talking about it, I'll tell you, you know, but I'll be grateful that you did, you know? I think, I mean, there's lots of things, but those are a few that come to mind.
Great information. And I'd love to hear from you also about what we as loved ones, as people who love the grieving person, can do to help. My observation, again, 32 years in natural healing, is two things. Number one is to listen, to like literally shut up and listen. And then the second is to be with them, companionship, to be present, right? Because so many people think, well, you know, I can't deal with Johnny or Sue because they're in a really bad space. But once you realize you don't actually have to fix someone or fix how they're feeling, but just simply to be present with them, that alone can be very helpful. So what do you find helps in supporting someone who's grieving?
I think that you just said it as good as I could hope to, Catherine. I mean, it really is about, you know, being present. And when I say being present, I mean, like you said, I mean, actively listening to someone. I mean, reflecting back what you've heard them say. I mean, but I also mean being able to sit with them with the emotions they are experiencing, no matter how uncomfortable they are. And that can be really, really hard for people because it's difficult to see someone you love in pain. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us can, you know, we feel, to your point, we feel this obligation to alleviate that pain in some way, but we don't know how to do it because there is really no real way to do it. I mean, for the most part, I mean, you just need to sit with them. So then what happens is we feel like we're failing them. And, you know, it causes this whole cycle of why it becomes easier just not to say anything at all. So I think what you said is perfect, is you need to listen with them and you need to be able to sit with the discomfort that they are going through without, you don't have to wear it. You don't have to take it on. You don't have to make it yours, you know, but it's just saying, hey, I see you and I'm here with you. And for as long as it takes. And I think that is such a gift to, one another that we have, and we all have the power to give it more often, whether someone's grieving or not, really. So
right now, how does grief shatter someone's identity, and what helps them start putting the pieces back together?
To get through this world, you know, we all try to make sense of the world that we're living in all the time. And one of the ways that we do that is we have this idea of who we are. So I'll give you an example, just from my own personal experience. So I run a group as I was saying earlier, of dads who own businesses. So the whole idea here is to, we teach them skills to help them become better husbands, better fathers, and better business owners. So it's a very like a tightly knit, vulnerable group of men talking about like real life things. So as part of that group, I'm one of the leaders of that group. So I really fancied myself like a dad expert, right? And so, you know, guys would come to me for advice and all that. And I think I honestly bought my own PR a little bit. And then when my daughter died, she died with incredible mental health issues that I could not save her from. And she died drinking and driving and almost killed four other people. And so how do I reconcile that I'm like the greatest dad in the world and this happened, this is how my daughter died. Like those things are not, and so it, I mean, you want to talk about identity shattering. I mean, it was who am I? You know, now having said that, I think that it was, there's always gifts in tragedy, always. Sometimes you have to look for them and sometimes they are incredibly hard to look for and to find, but they're always there. And sometimes often they take a while for those gifts to be obvious and realized. But for me, one of the ones, the gifts that came from it was a huge dose of humility, you know, is recognizing of, you know, I run a dad group. I'm doing my best as a dad and my powers to influence the trajectory of other people's lives are incredibly finite. You know, what much less than I had led myself to believe, I would say. So I think that, you know, I think that our identity being shattered is a very common thing, or even your identity, maybe to make it even, to even simplify it. I'm the father of two daughters. What am I now? Am I the father of one daughter? Am I the father of still two daughters? I don't even know. I mean, I still haven't landed on a way to actually answer that question. It just depends on the mood I'm in at the time. But regardless, I mean, that shatters your identity. And so part of the healing process is really being able to is come to terms with who you are, who you want to be, you know, like this next version of yourself. So I think of myself now as someone who is really committed to transforming the face of men's grief. Like that feels like a really important mission to me. So I think finding a sense of purpose, you know, is a way to make meaning out of the lives and deaths of the people you lost. But yeah, it's a very painful and difficult process of trying to reassemble who you are after who you thought you were has been destroyed to a certain extent.
Wonderful insights. You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter on Substack. Our guest today has been Jason McKenzie, author of Man Down, A Survival Guide for Men. He's the chief coaching officer at the Ames Institute. You can find out more about Jason McKenzie and his wonderful work at grief.tools. And remember that grief is a normal, natural human emotion. We're all going to go through that at some point in our life. And the experience of grief deepens our soul. It adds weight and depth to our soul. It's a whole body experience. And as you learn to become present with yourself and present with others who are grieving, you can notice that you're healing yourself naturally. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.